We're going to have a little bit of a, just a little bit of a different schedule or service today. Some of you may have seen this slide that today is Government Prayer Sunday. And so we're going to spend some time a little bit later on in our service just praying for our government leaders and interceding for them. Of course, we know that July 1st is quickly approaching. That's, I believe, on Saturday. And this year, you probably haven't been able to avoid becoming aware of the fact that it's Canada's 150th birthday, right? And so you see these Canada 150 signs or merchandise items or whatever all over the place. But it is a time of celebration for our country. I'm going to talk about some other things first, actually, and then we'll talk a little bit about Canada. And then I've actually asked some folks in the church to pray. And so we have some prayer points that we've distributed. And so some of you will be coming up and just leading us in a congregation in prayer for our leaders and for our government. And then we're actually going to end off our service by singing O Canada. And so I think it's good to do that, even as a church family. And of course, the next time you meet, we'll have passed Canada's birthday, right? So better to sing Happy Birthday Canada in advance. So we'll do that. One of the things I just want to spend a few minutes talking about, and Michelle actually alluded to it, was we had an AGM, or our annual general meeting, this last Wednesday, and there was quite a few things that we talked about. But one of the things... There you go. Michelle's a trustworthy person. She says it was good. It was good. It was good. There was all kinds of things we talked about. One of the things that I was really excited to share about towards the end, and I want to share it with you guys because I know not everyone was able to make that. Some folks had other obligations. Some folks were working, whatever. Some of you didn't know it was going to be good, so you didn't come. Just had to slip that in there. Fallon did say it was going to be good, and she is also trustworthy, by the way. So she said it's going to be good. It is going to be good. But one of the things that we've been praying into as a church leadership is the area of our spiritual covering as a church. So for many years, we've been under the umbrella of our covering of an organization called LifeLinks International. And LifeLinks has its headquarters in Regina. And so we've had interaction with other leaders and other churches from LifeLinks, and I believe that there's definitely still possibility of that. But over the last few years, the Lord has just led us into some things, particularly in the area of faith and some revelation in faith and grace, and just giving us some new understanding about the Christian walk. And so we have some things that we believe that we hold precious and dear, and they're a little bit different than some of the folks that we've walked in linked arms with in the past. And so we just felt for some time that God was asking us to look elsewhere and see who can we build a bridge with, who can we connect with. And so we've been praying about that and then taking some actual steps, right? Faith is action, right? You pray about something, but then as the Holy Spirit tells you what to do, then you got to go out and do it. You got to take some steps, right? And so Candace and myself and Ryan and Fallon, even last November, we went to a pastor's conference. And it was a group called Impacting Canada Ministries, and this was a conference in Canmore. And so we met some new folks, and it was just a two-day deal, but it was just really good. Right away, there was just a comfort level, and just we just sensed, you know, it was like meeting someone for the first time and just feeling like you had known them for a real long time, right? There was just, right away, there was a comfortability, and then we knew that we had just a whole lot in common, that we were part of the same family of faith. And so that was really good. We've stayed in contact with those folks. The neat thing is, as Pastor Joel and Jamie are the young couple who lead up the network, and there's another gentleman called Pastor Barry who's the administrator, we found that we had more in common and a lot of past connections in this network than we even realized. So, for example, Brother Barry attended the same Bible school that Candace and I actually met. He was there just a couple years. We just missed each other by a couple years. And, of course, he used to live in Swan River. We found that out. And just a lot of other connections that the Lord has realized that, man, we're a lot closer together than we realized. And we have a lot of common history that we didn't even at first realize. I think I was telling someone else in our church this last week that one of the pastors in the Impacting Canada Ministries network is a fellow named Ron Swanson. Well, he was a teacher for Candice and myself in Bible College again, and he loved to teach on Revelations, and that was his thing, was end times and Revelations. But now he's pastored for quite a few years, and he's a pastor in that church as well too. And so we were able to connect with them. That was really good to see them. Pastor Dina and Laura, who preached at our family camp a couple years ago, we're also there. They're in a very similar place as us. They actually haven't been a LifeLinks church for several years, and so they were just looking to see who the Lord would have them partner with. And actually, Pastor Dean and Laura have also made the decision to join with Impacting Canada Ministries. And so their church champion, Christian Center in Edmonton, has also come under the umbrella of ICM. And so that's the decision that we've made in May of this year. We had lots of interactions. Some folks have come here. We were gone there. Candice and I were in Red Deer again in late May. And we just really feel that this is who God's calling us to partner with. And so I've just had some good interaction, even with Pastor Dave, because we need to be released from LifeLinks, right? And so I was able to have wrote him quite a lengthy letter. You can't write a short letter like that, but I just received back a really warm response from him last night. And I'm going to have a chance to further talk with Pastor Dave this next week. I know my parents are camping with him next weekend as well, too. And so I want you to know that there's no division or anything like that with LifeLinks. We still love them dearly. We're actually still continuing to partner with Pastor Dave for his personal ministry. He has a ministry where he travels all around the world, and specifically to parts of Asia and parts of Europe, and ministers the gospel to pastors and encourages other pastors and other leaders. And so we really believe in his ministry. We're going to continue to support him personally, but we're not going to be a LifeLinks church any longer. I know some of you, that's not something you think about too often, but it'll be... There'll be some small changes from here and then. I think one of the biggest things you guys are going to find is that we're going to be able to have more leaders and more ministers come and visit with us and minister the gospel to us. We're stepping into a whole new world of connections and networks. And so that's already started. It's already starting. I've actually booked Pastor Walter Enns, who's in close fellowship with ICM. Of course, he came with Brother Joe to camp last year, if you remember him. And so he's booked to come here and speak at the church in October. And there'll be other people as well. We'll be able to go there, and they'll be able to come here. And so there's going to be a back and forth, and it's going to be really good. I'm excited about what the Lord has for us with ICM. There's a welcome video from Pastor Joel and Jamie there. So they head up the network, and they also pastor a church called Impact Life Church in Red Deer. And so go ahead and roll that video, Mandy, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it.
Hey, Solid Rock Church, my name is Pastor Joel Housing, and this is my wife, Pastor Jamie Housing, and we are the leaders and overseers of Impacting Canada Ministries.
And as the leaders, we just want to welcome you guys into the Impacting Canada family. We're all family together. We are looking so forward to partnering with you guys. Manitoba is really not that far away, so we are one together. My husband's going to tell you a little bit more about what we do here at Impacting Canada Ministries.
Yeah, so our vision here is to reach, train, and to unite the nation of Canada for the purpose of getting the word out, reaching people with the love of Jesus, uniting pastors, ministers, leaders, organizations to come under one vision, one heart to reach the nation of Canada. We look so forward to growing with you, to advancing the church in Canada with you. We love your pastors, Pastors Cam and Candice. They are wonderful leaders. So we look forward to moving with you, and God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks. They're a neat couple. I'm looking forward to being able to have you guys meet them at some time in the future. As Pastor Joel said, I think there's a slide there that shows that, Mandy. But he talked about how the vision of ICM, and this is to be, part of the vision that we're coming under. Part of the vision that we're identifying with is to reach the people of Canada with the love and power of God, right? Not just the love of God, but the power, that supernatural power, right? We've been talking about that as a church, that God wants us to be able to, when we're motivated by love, and we believe in the power of God, and we're extending faith for it, that's when we can do that. We can move in love and power, right? To train leaders and ministers to build the end time church. What is that saying? An interesting thing in Canada has happened over the last 20 years is that Bible schools are going in decline. Do you guys know that? And so there's a lot of Bible schools, especially I'm more aware of in the prairies for sure, but a lot of churches used to have Bible schools and ministries, and attendance is going down, right? And so this particular ministry feels a call to raise up leaders in the church, right? And so I think that's awesome because we need young people that recognize the call of God in their lives. Some people are called to be in business or to serve in, you know, in various parts of society, but there is also a call on young people to be raised up in ministry in the church, right? For that to be their vocation. And so there's some exciting things coming down the road in regards to even leadership training. ICM kind of has a leadership training center there, right there in Red Deer, and they're going to be launching that in the fall. And then the last thing is uniting leaders, ministers, and ministries that are in the household of faith for greater impact. So some, you know, there's obviously pastors that are part. You know, we're joining. So I'm a leader, but we're joining our ministry as well. Why are we joining with them? We're joining for greater impact, right? When we're working together, when we have a common vision and a common goal, we're working. There's a synergy and a momentum that comes from joining our faith with theirs and from them joining their faith with us. We can do more together than we can if we're just doing our own thing, if we're being separate, right? And so we don't want to be an island in the sea of Christianity here in Canada. We want to be joined with those and part of what God is doing in this nation. And so we really identify with that vision, and we're excited to partner with them. You know, there's some common goals of all the churches in the network, the churches and the pastors and leaders that are connected with ICM, and it's to contend for an awakening throughout all of Canada, a spiritual revival in our nation, to strengthen each other in building our church. So building each other up, meeting with each other, encouraging each other. That's where that fellowship that takes place at the leadership level, and those of us who are able to partake in conferences, meetings, things like that, that can really strengthen us and build us up. And then to stand together in our nation for the cause of Christ. We're going to be talking about that in just a little bit, but we need to realize that God has a plan for Canada, right? God wants to do something powerful in our nation. Now, is it just something that happens in Ottawa, or is it just something that starts in the West Coast or the East Coast? No, it's something that actually starts here right now. What God is doing in our nation, what God's doing in our country, starts right here in the Swan River Valley, right? This is our part to play. Our part to play is in our church, in our town, in our valley, and the places where we have reach and the places where we have influence, right? And so as other churches come together and do their part in the places where they have reach and influence, that's how we're going to reach Canada together. I just want to share some things about the ICM mission, about what they believe about Canada. And this really struck a chord with me. I know Fallon shared these things at our AGM, but I spent some time just going over them, praying about them, looking into them deeper, and it got me excited about the vision that we're joining with for our nation, for our country. And I think it really ties into Government Prayer Sunday and how we're going to be just contending in prayer for our nation. The first thing is that Canada is a mission field that's ready to be harvested. John 4:35 says, "Do you not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Of course, that was our Lord saying those words, right? Well, if Jesus, when he was on earth 2,000 years ago, was looking at his community, wherever they were at that time when those words were spoken, and he was recognizing that there was a spiritual harvest that was ready at that time, how much more? I mean, we're in the last days, but we're in the last days of the last days, right? And so I believe right now that we're just in a time where there's a great harvest. You know, we can look at society, and we can look at what's happening in our nation, and then even in our own community, and we can say, well, you know what, there's less interest in the things of God. You know, there seems to be less interest in the things of God in the school system, for example. And a lot of churches, if you talk to people that attend churches, they'll say, well, our church attendance is down. We're having some, you know, difficulties with the budget or whatever. And there's a lot of talk about that sort of thing. But you know that I believe that spiritual hunger, the hunger for spiritual things, is at an all-time high. So while, in some ways, church attendance and some of the what we would identify with as the outward forms of being a Christian, being a believer, and the Christian things that we do, while those things are going down, there is still a spiritual hunger there. There is still a desire for the things of the Lord. And so that's why I believe that, you know, that really witnesses with me that Canada is a mission field that's waiting to be harvested. The next point is the nation of Canada did not just happen. God's hand is on the nation, on this nation, for such a time as this. And of course, that phrase is from the book of Esther, right? Where Esther was raised up for such a time as this to save her people from the evil rule that they were under. I want to read you guys just a quick story. I shared this actually about 3 years ago when I was preaching about Canada. And it's a story of a gentleman named Sir Samuel Leonard Tilley. And he was one of the fathers of Confederation. What were the fathers of Confederation? The fathers of Confederation were the group of individuals that got together to figure out how are we going to have a united Canada, right? There was an Upper Canada. There was a Lower Canada. Prairie provinces didn't even exist back then. But they wanted to bring the country together. They felt that God was asking them to unite all the governments that were across Canada at that time into a united Canada. And they wanted to know, how do we go about this? We need to seek the Lord in this. And Sir Leonard Tilley was one of those men. He was a born-again man, and he started every day reading his Bible. That was his custom. That was his habit. There was a story that was written about him. I'm just going to read that quick story to you guys. When the Fathers of Confederation were assembled discussing the terms and conditions of Confederation and the drafting of the British North America Act, there had been considerable discussion the day before and many suggestions as to what the new United Canada should be called, and no conclusion had been reached. The discussion on the name stood over until the next day. The next morning, as was Sir Leonard's custom, he read a chapter from the Bible, and in that particular morning he read Psalm 72. When reading verse 8 of the psalm, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea," the thought occurred to him, what a splendid name to give Canada. When he went back to the sitting of the convention that morning, he suggested the word dominion, which was agreed to, and Canada was called the Dominion of Canada. A letter signed by John A. Macdonald explained to the Queen Victoria, the name was a tribute to the principles they earnestly desired to uphold. Of course, that scripture, Psalm 72:8, is, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Man, when I read that verse, I have to agree with Sir Leonard Tilley. It seems like that verse was written just for us, doesn't it? You know, there's only a few nations in the earth that can say that they reach from sea to sea, at least seas as big as important as the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, the two biggest seas on our entire globe, right? But one of the neat things, when you look at the map of Canada, what is one thing that really strikes out with you? It's the St. Lawrence Seaway that turns into the St. Lawrence River. And of course, at that time, and still now, that is the busiest river in our nation, right? That's where the flow of industry and commerce and so much happens on there. And I believe that's significant, right? That when that scripture says, "He shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth," I mean, that I'm just claiming that for our own. I'm saying that was a verse that was prophetically written by David, you know, just many, many, many centuries ago. And Canada's claimed it for its own, right? And it truly is a prophetic verse. As Fallon shared with us, it's inscribed on the Peace Tower, one of the cornerstones of the Peace Tower. And that's Canada's call, is that, you know, the Lord has asked us to partner with Him in setting His kingdom and having dominion from sea to sea in our nation. So that excites me. The next point is Canada's vast amount of resources are being discovered to provide riches for the gospel be preached around the world. You know, Canada is known for having great amounts of natural resources, right? Energy resources, mineral resources, timber resources, right? We have lots of forestry that happens in our area. But I believe the greatest resource of our nation is Christians, people who have made the decision, we're going to walk in the fullness of blessing, and we're going to walk in the fullness of blessing so we can power the mission of taking the gospel to the world, right? That I believe, is our most precious natural resource, is believers like you and I that have made the decision that we're going to take the riches that God's put in our hearts, the treasures and the special things that God's given us, and we're going to partner with other believers in seeing the gospel come across our nation, but even beyond that, to the ends of the earth. Amen? The last point is Canada's best days are here and now. You know, one of the things that's been interesting, I have Twitter on my phone, and I occasionally check tweets, and I get these promoted tweets all the time. I'm not sure where they're coming from, but it's talking about Canada's history and some of the glory days of Canada's history, right? And there's been a lot of awesome things that have happened over the last 150 years in Canada, right? You know, whether it was, the space arm, or the contribution to coming up with various medicines like penicillin or things like that. And so it's touting all these achievements and these great things that have happened in the nation of Canada. Well, I believe that Canada's best days, again, are here and now, right? Why is that? Because we're coming to the fullness of time. And as we and believers believe that and begin to begin to get a sense for what God wants to do in this nation, I believe that it's believers that are going to bring that to cause. Believers are going to bring that to fulfillment. As we realize what God wants to do in this nation at that time, that's what's going to make it happen. That's what's going to make Canada's best days here and now. It's not the invention of a new technology. It's not a new product or someone who distinguishes himself in any particular field. It's not going to be that. It's going to be the move of God that happens in our nation. That's going to mean that Canada's best days are here, right here and right now. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19 says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. That's us. Paul's talking to us as believers. We can have confidence that God's got great things for us because we are the Lord's rich and glorious inheritance. Amen? We're going to talk a little bit about Government Prayer Sunday. This was actually an initiative that Linda Carpentier brought to my attention. And so thank you, Linda. Something that came across her email box, and just a few weeks back she forwarded it. And just a little note saying, Pastor Cam, should we look into this? Is this something we want to partner with? And you know, I wasn't sure at first what it was all about, but I went and followed the breadcrumbs. And I ended up on the National House of Prayer website. And right away, I just had a sense, this is something we need to do as a church. A few years back, we had Rob Parker, who is the director of the National House of Prayer. He was here. He actually came with his son, Rob Jr. And they just talked to us about the vision that God has given them for the National House of Prayer. And the Lord just supernaturally provided just a beautiful building for them in Ottawa. And what happens is that they strategically pray for our nation, and they strategically pray for our leaders. And they actually have, I believe it's 38 beds in this building. And so if you want, you can travel to that, you can travel to the National House of Prayer in Ottawa, and you can stay there for a period of time, and you can join with them on a daily basis in sessions where you pray for our government, where you pray for our leaders, where you pray for your MP or various things that are happening at that time in government. They don't just obviously stay in that building. They actually spend a lot of time in the House of Commons as well. It's a public building. And so you can, if you can walk the halls of House of Commons as a tourist, well, you can surely walk the halls as a prayer tourist, right? As someone, and they don't know they just walk and they just intercede, and they can stop in front of certain offices. There's a lot of MPs that have their offices that can just stop, and they can just stand there quietly, and they can just intercede in prayer and just have, I believe, great influence in our nation's capital because of the desire that God's given them to be a house of prayer. I think it's so significant that they're partnered. That they have their headquarters in Ottawa as well, right? And so that's just a little side. If there's any of you that have any free time on your hands and it's something you'd like to think about, I was just watching a video from Rob Parker last night, and he says, you know, when I'm walking the halls of the House of Prayer and I look in these rooms and I see these empty beds, I think, man, I wish more people would come and partner with us. And so you can go on their website, and that might be something that you have time to do, to join with them and in prayer. And I think that really encourages them when people come from all parts of Canada and say, hey, we're here for the next week or the next month or whatever. We're going to join with you in prayer. That's just a little tidbit. And so what they do is they organize a day of prayer every year for our nation's government, whichever government that might be. And that doesn't mean just the Liberal Party or some of the federal offices. That's all levels of our federal government, right? So there's opposition parties. There's other parties that aren't in power, but they do have members that sit in the House of Commons. Of course, we have a second house. We have the Senate. We have the Supreme Court. And so there's lots of different levels of government in Ottawa that are headquartered in Ottawa. And this is our day that we can especially focus and pray for them. We're thankful for what God's done in the past in government. There's been times where we've joined together with others as a church, and we've seen God answer some prayer. We've seen God hold back some things or move some things forward, and so we're thankful for that. But I believe the Lord has so much more as we move together in prayer. I was just having a conversation with my mom Linda yesterday, and we were talking about, why do some things happen in the world? Well, the reason that some things happen or some things don't happen a lot of times is the influence of praying Christians. Christians who are rising up and taking their authority and saying, we're not going to let this happen. This is not going to happen on our watch, or there's something that needs to happen, and they just pray it in, right? They prophetically see it, and then in faith, we just call it in existence, and that thing is established in our land. And so we have that power and authority as believers to help our elected officials and those who serve in all levels of government, but especially the federal government, we have the ability to help them be good leaders, be godly leaders, be just leaders, and we do that primarily through prayer. Ezekiel 22:30 says, I looked for someone who might rebuild the walls of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. Now, of course, this is a scripture from many years ago talking about the nation of Israel. The point I want to make here is God is looking for people who are willing to stand in the gap. What does it mean to stand in the gap? What does it mean to stand on guard? Well, we're going to sing our national anthem in a few minutes here. And, of course, there's a phrase in our national anthem that says, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Now, when people are singing in that, it might mean different things to different people. But I believe to us as believers, when we sing those words, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee, it means something really specific. It means we stand in the spirit for our country. We stand for godly values. We stand for righteousness in our Canada. And we stand in faith for principles of righteousness to be upheld in our government, right? And that's what it means to stand on guard for Canada. And I believe God's looking for you and I then to stand in the gap and preserve those righteous foundations of our nation. We know that we have righteous foundations, right? We just read that story of Sir Leonard Tilley and how there was a group of believers, a group of godly men many years ago that were instrumental in the forming of our nations. We have righteous foundation as a nation. We want to preserve that and uphold that. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Some of you guys are builders, and you know a foundation is so important, right? To build, you want to have a strong foundation. You want to have a firm foundation. That's so key. But then even once a building is built, even if it's got a good foundation, it has to be maintained, right? You can't just disregard that foundation. If there's some cracks that develop or some pressures or stresses that come against it, you might have to do some work. We know all about foundations at our house on the acreage. We think about foundations quite often. But it's so important that the righteous foundations of our nation, we know that they were established, but they need to be maintained and they need to be upheld. Amen? So I believe that's what it means to stand on guard for our country. It's just a resolve to do everything in our power with the authority that God's given us to see our nation continually established in righteousness. Psalms 2:8 says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. That's a promise we have from the Lord. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. And so we have a promise from the Lord that we can do that. We can ask for our nation, and he will have it as his possession. I want to make the point today, how do we pray for our government then? How do we pray for our leaders? I mentioned this in my email to some of the folks who are going to pray today. I believe it's key for us to recognize that the scripture asks us and instructs us to pray for our leaders, not against them, right? That's a big thing. And we don't always, sometimes it's a fine line that we can cross in prayer. And I believe that a lot of times prayer is motivated by a godly motivation, but we realize sometimes we can get to a place where, you know, when the Bible talks about calling down things in high places, principalities, that's not talking about Justin Trudeau. It's talking about a demonic influence. It's talking about spiritual influences of darkness. And so those are the things that we war against. Justin Trudeau is not the principality of darkness, right? The members of his cabinet or the Liberal government or whatever, those aren't the forces of darkness in our nation. So we need to focus our attention on the true fortress of darkness, right? The demonic realm. We can go ahead and pray against those all you want. I encourage you to do that. But we need to pray for our leaders and encourage them, right? 1 Timothy 2:1-3 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. So, as Christians, we're not only told to pray just for a Christian government, we're not only just told to pray for government if that government's policies and principles totally agree with the Bible. We're not even called to pray for a change in government. You don't see that in Scripture. It says, pray for your government. Now, who is writing these words? The Apostle Paul was writing these words. Do you know who was governing his world at that time? It was the Emperor Nero. Now, Nero was widely regarded as one of the most demonic, evil rulers that the empire of Rome had, right? But Paul wasn't railing against Nero and calling him down. He was saying, pray for those in government, pray for your kings, pray for your leaders so that you can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. It's important to know that God puts leadership in place, and not just spiritual leadership, but also leadership in our country, in our levels of government. They are established by the Lord. Daniel 2:21 says, He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So our role is to pray for whoever we have in government, that they would fulfill their high calling, the things that the Lord has asked them to do, the things that it's God's purpose and God's intention, that they be wise, that they be just, that they be fair, and yes, that they would rule according to righteousness. But that's what we can pray for them, right? We can pray that they would do those things, that they would be those people of integrity, and that they would have a revelation, if they don't already, of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, right? That's a great thing to pray for your MP or other leaders, that they would have just a recognition of the Lordship and the Headship of Jesus Christ. And if they haven't already given their life to the Lord, that they would do that, that they would recognize that He is ruler supreme, and that they would make a decision to order their life, their principles, after God's word and after the pattern of righteousness that we see in the Bible. We have to understand that government is established by God. Romans 13:1 says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. The authorities are God's servants. This is verse 4 now. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. So God's idea of government is that it's to bring order, that it's to bring justice, it's to bring fairness, and actually protection to every citizen in that land, right? And that institution of government, I believe that's a God-given mandate that those in government do that. But here's the thing. That's their mandate whether they're believers or not. Whether they're Christians or not, God is still calling them to be just, to be protectors of those who can't protect themselves, to be people of righteousness and to be those who promote order and fairness. And so we can pray for them, again, that those things would be evident and clear in their lives. I think that we can pray blessings on government as well, too. Our leaders are meant to be a gift to us, right? Those in government, those in power, they're meant not to serve themselves. But the reason that they're in government is that they're meant to be a blessing to us, to bless our nation, to cause our nation to grow and prosper. And so we can definitely pray that on them as well. Is it possible for leaders to become corrupt and to become oppressive even in a democratic government? Well, yeah, it's absolutely possible. But the purpose, again, for that leader is for them to be a blessing and not a curse to our nation, right? And so we can declare that over leaders. I declare that Justin Trudeau and the Liberal government, which is in power right now, I declare that they are a blessing to our nation, right? We have to remember to pray in a nonpartisan way as well, right? This is something that, you know, we don't say, Lord, raise up those that I voted for and tear down those I didn't vote for. You know, that's nonpartisan. We need to make sure that we pray for all leaders fairly, right? And bless them all, encourage them all, not just the ones who are aligned with how we voted, for example, or you know, that seem to be aligned with our principles. If we're praying, I believe, according to 1 Timothy 2:1-3, you know, we can pray and thank God for our leaders, even if they're not believers, and even if, you know, maybe they're not currently governing according to biblical principles, but we can do it because we know that they're established by God, and it's God's desire that He uses them to bless our nation. Psalms 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. The last thing that we can do for our leaders is that we can pray for wisdom, we can pray for health, we can just even pray for their security, their stability in their families and their relationships. Healthy leaders are more inclined to make healthy decisions, right? We can also, I believe the greatest thing then is that we can pray for the influence of righteousness, right? For just, again, them to have an overwhelming awareness of God's plan for their lives, that God is real, that He wants good things for them. Good things for those in their sphere of influence. Good things for the departments that they lead or the people that they lead. We can pray that God would keep them from corruption, from going down a path that's not right. And that we can even pray against, you know, selfish ambition. But that they would people that would be humble, that they would just have a servant's heart as they lead to serve their constituency and to serve their province and to serve their nation in the best way that they possibly can, with God's grace. Micah 6:8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So the next time you're thinking about your leaders, you can declare to them, Lord, help them do justly, help them love mercy, help them walk in a way that's humble, and help them be a blessing and not a curse to our nation. Amen? Of course, we don't want to just pray for our leaders on Government Prayer Sunday, right? This is something that we need to be engaging in as a church all the time. It can be part of our daily prayer when we spend time with the Lord, is that we can lift up the leaders in our nation. Even if it's just a little bit of time, just a couple sentences, we can be interceding for them quite often. One of the things I have for you guys, and you can take one on the way out if you like, but I just have some handouts at the back table, and I believe it's just titled simply, How to Pray for Your Leaders in Government. And just a few points on how you can do that. Just some reminders of some of the things that we've talked about here today. But you can take that, slip that in your Bible, and the next time the Lord puts on your heart to pray for your leaders in government, just some things on there to help you guide you, and just some ways that you can pray for your leaders to be a blessing, for them to be influenced by righteousness, for them to be just people, men and women, who stand up for the kingdom of God, who stand up for righteousness in our land. I'm drying out here. So we're going to go ahead and pray right now. I don't have my list in front of me. Brad, I think you were up first. What I encourage you to do, these folks are just going to come up one after the other. They're just going to pray for 2 or 3 minutes, or if they feel led to pray a little bit more. But I encourage you guys just to join your faith with theirs and join them in prayer, right? This is a time you can say amen, you can encourage them, you can pray in the Spirit, you can raise your hand, whatever you want to do. But we don't want to have Brother Brad praying, but we want to be joining with him together as a church, right? So as soon as Brad is praying, you have that list. I'm going to just, the next person can just come up and take the mic and go for it. I'll end things off in prayer, and then we'll actually close our service by Signal Canada, and we'll dismiss you guys. So go ahead, brother.
Am I on? So my part, when we first start here, is to help us be prepared in the right way to have the right heart so that when we pray, we're in unity. Okay? So it just so happens that the very scripture that Pastor Ray or Pastor Cam gave me was the same thing as I got to preach on when last time I was in the pulpit. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I am nothing but a sounding gong or a brass cymbal. So the whole idea is to get our hearts right. And you may disagree with some of the leaders in government, but our mandate is to love them. So we're going to pray, and we're going to use our faith, and we're going to love them, even if we disagree with them, okay? So, Father God, as we join together today in prayer, we ask that you would make our hearts right. And in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we say that we love our leaders, that we love those in government, and we love those who lead us, Lord. And we pray for them earnestly that you would be a blessing in their lives, that you would cause them to grow in you, Lord God, that they would grow closer to you day by day, that their love would increase day by day, Lord God, that our love towards all of our government leaders and our police officials and those who are in authority above us, Lord, that we would grow in love towards them and figure out ways in our life to be a blessing and not a curse in their life, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to be positive when we speak about our leaders and how we can, Lord, in the name of Jesus, love them with all our heart, so that they can do the work that you've called them to do without hindrance of your people, without hindrance from people who are hateful. But Lord God, that they would see the love of your people and be encouraged to do the things that you are going to mandate them to do. And we believe, God, that if you call them to do something, that they would be as strong and courageous and be able to do what you called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
For this part of our prayer time, we are going to pray about the fundamental freedoms that we have as Canadians, what our rights are here in our country that have been placed in our government for us, for our freedoms. And I just thought, just to remind each and every one of us what those fundamental freedoms are, they are that everyone has the following fundamental freedoms: freedom of conscience and religion, freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression, including freedom of the press and other media of communication. We also have the freedom of peaceable assembly and freedom of association. So let's just take a moment here and pray for our freedom. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our nation, this nation of Canada, and Lord, the people that you have put in place in our government. Father, we just thank you so much for the government that we do have, but Lord, that you are watching over them. You know everything from the beginning to the end. Father, that you have placed our Prime Minister there, you have placed our MPs there, you have placed our every part of the government people in there at this time. And we thank you for them, that they are doing the job that they have been set in place for. But Lord, we also thank you that in the supernatural, Lord, that you have placed the watchman on the wall around our nation. Father, that you have placed your intercessors even amongst in our government area in Ottawa to pray for our government. So Father, we just thank you and ask that you would watch over them so that they can continue to pray for our freedom and to pray for our people that are in there making the decisions, though the enemy would have us to look at what is happening in the darkness and bringing darkness to the forefront. Father, we know that you have everything, you know everything from the beginning to the end, and Lord, that you will see that your righteousness overcomes and that you have the victory in our nation. So, Father, we just thank you for that freedom that we can get together as in our religions. Father, that we have the right to be able to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord over our nation and to one another. Father, I thank you that we have the freedom of thought and belief and that we can have our opinions and that we can express them in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you that we can assemble peaceably in our houses here like Solid Rock and the other churches in our nation, that we can assemble together and praise your name. And Father, that we have that freedom of association because of you, because you are our God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Oh, you know, our government is made up of people, and I think we need to pray for each of the individual people that are our leaders. So let's just pray for them. Lord, we just thank you for the elected leaders, God, of our government, from just at local levels right to the national level. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one. We thank you, God, that you have placed them there. But, God, we would just pray that they would be people of integrity. God, that you would lead and guide them and they would be God-fearers. Lord, in your word, it says many times over to fear God. But then at the same time, it says fear not. So, God, we thank you that they're to fear God, but they're not to fear the onslaughts of the enemy. They're not to fear what man may say, but, God, they are to fear you and to be led by you. And so, God, we would just pray for our country, that it would be a country given to righteousness, justice, and, God, that they would be just like having the reins to a horse or a steering wheel to a car, that, God, that they would be leaders that would be guided and led by you. Father, that ultimately they would know that they are accountable to you. And so, as well, God, we just pray that your word would be a light to them. Father, that your word would be that which they would seek after and that they would be led forth, that would become... that your word would be a first and primary authority in their lives, that your word would guide them to that which is truth. For then we know, God, that your truth would set us free. And God, we just thank you for that freedom for our country. And again, even as O Canada, in the song that we sing, God, keep our land glorious and free. So we speak freedom to this land. In Jesus' name, amen.
For my part, if we're going to pray for the motivation and the decisions of our leaders, that they would be for the nation and not for themselves, that they would be ones who are governed out of a right heart and not out of selfish ambition. And so 1 Timothy chapter 2, Cam already read that there. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them and intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority. And so that's where we're going to start. And I'll start there. Father God, we thank you for the leaders in our nation. We thank you for those who are willing to give their lives to serve this country. And so right now we pray protection over their hearts, that their ambitions would be that for this nation, for truth and justice and the principles that this nation is based on. Proverbs 8 says, common sense and success belong to them. Insight and strength are theirs. Because of you, Lord, the kings are reign, and they make just decrees. So we proclaim that over our leaders. And Isaiah chapter 11, that they will delight in obeying the Lord, that they will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. They will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. And even now, as there's two Supreme Court justices, Lord, that need to be put in place during this next government term, we pray that you will position people with the right hearts for those positions. We thank you, Lord, that you will lead our government in making the right choices so that those people will honor and serve this country and honor and serve you. In Jesus' name.
Father, in the name of Jesus, over this nation, we declare that Jesus is Lord. We say, blessed is this nation of Canada, whose God is the Lord. Father, Scripture teaches us that when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. And so in the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, righteousness over our government. We pray revelation. We pray the opening of the windows of heaven. We pray visitations of the Holy Spirit. We pray visitations of the fear of God, so that those who are elected to the offices of government, beginning at our local municipal levels and going up provincially and even federally, Father, that there will be revelations of the Word of God. Father, that things perhaps that they've heard as children in their youth would come back to them, the Word of God that they were taught, things that have come and impressed their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Father, that they would come to understand that the Word of God is eternal, the kingdom of God is eternal, that the governments of man may be at one level, but there is a government and there is a governor that supersedes all the governments of this world, to whom all governors will one day give account, and before whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God. So, Father, we pray awakening, Lord, in our government. We pray awakening in the streets of our land, from sea to sea, in the streets of our cities, that there would be awakenings, visitations of the Holy Spirit. Father, that would be at grassroots level, but that would reach all the way up to the highest echelons of power in our nation. Father, that this nation would be known among the nations as a nation whose God is the Lord. And so, Father, we pray visitations of mercy and truth and revelation and awakening. Father, that we may govern, that our nation might be governed under the fear of God and with the confidence that the Word of God is true and that every knee bows before the living Word. And so, God, we sanctify ourselves as a people and as a nation to the glory of God and to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we all pray. Amen.
Father, I thank you that you love the nation of Canada, God. You love our nation. Father, I thank you for all the ones that you've placed and given them even the desire to serve in our nation. For whatever reason, God, all these ones serving in our nation, these ones that are elected, they find themselves in this place, in this high place to serve our nation in this way, God. And Father, I even pray that this will be, whether they even know it or not, God, that it will be a setup for them. God, that they are in the right place, that they will hear from you, and that they will just be open to you, God, that somehow, yeah, Jesus, I thank you for this position, God, that there's such an anointing on this position that they're in, God, because you love our nation. You have a heart for our nation. So, Father, I pray that for all the ones serving, for all the MPs, God, that their eyes will be open to who you are, God, that they will have revelation of Jesus, revelation of their need, God, and their for wisdom from you, God, that they will see that you do give wisdom, God, that you're out of all the other voices, God, that you're the one that they need, God, that you have the highest wisdom, Father. So I even pray protection over their minds, God, from from all other things, God, bombarding them, God, that they'll just be able to have clear direction from you, God. So we thank you for them, Jesus. And Father, I pray that you'll give them the courage to do what's right. God, when they get a word from you, whether they know it's from you, God, I pray that they will. God, that they will have courage to stand, courage to do what's right, Father. So we pray blessing and favor upon our government, God. We bless them in Jesus' name. We say you're a blessing to our nation. We pray, God, that they will know your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Over in Sunday school, I didn't quite get everything this morning. But we learned a lot in Sunday school. And we spoke mainly about Jeremiah, how the people did live in exile there. And God sent us in his world so we live in exile because we're really governed by our Lord Jesus. But right now we live on the government of Canada. And so Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah writes a letter to the ones in exile. I don't read everything. It starts at verse 4 and goes on. Nice reading at home. I want to just read the verse. I need my second eyes, just like Pastor. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. That's here, Swan River. Pray to the Lord for it. We're doing that right now. For its welfare will determine your welfare. If this city is not doing good, I'm not doing good. So let's pray. Let our light shine. And when Pastor Cam sent me the email, he asked me to act on Timothy 2, verse 2, where it says, pray for all in authority. And in our country, it's not only the ones that are enacted. We are a political country of parties and administration. And these things need prayer, and I will special pray for this part of our country. So let's bow. We pray for a good cooperation between our parties. We pray for our PC party, the NDP, for the Liberals, and the Green Party that make up our parliament in Ottawa. We pray for really good leaders to come up with good, wise, and godly ideas, for good platforms that recognize Christian principles in their parties and put that into place. We need good promises, compromises, not led by selfish ambitions of leaders, that are led by the need of the people of this country so that we can live in peace and prosperity. We pray for a culture of honor and dignity in the political field and in the House of Commons so that politicians are an example for us, especially for our young people, in a good political culture to set examples in this world again to lead this country on. And we pray especially that the parties establish a good administration down to us people, because we first of all live in a city, not in a country. And if there's no administration, and a good administration that has not been able to be bribed by things, and that is acting in honor and fear of God, we will live in prosperity, because the good ideas of these politicians will come to us people and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our government, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a government, Lord, that I believe desires to be a good government, Lord. We might not agree with various things on our federal government's agenda, Lord, but they desire to do what's right. Lord, I believe that their motivation is to do well, to do good, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that you've given us a government, Lord, that wants to bless its people, that wants to lead in the best way possible, Lord. We declare, and I just join my prayer with the prayers that we've prayed here today, Lord, that they are influenced by righteousness, that they are influenced by the authority of God's word, that they are influenced by godly men and women who you've placed in positions of authority and influence close to those who make make policy, close to those who draft legislation, close to those who make court decisions, Lord, that you put just godly men and women. You know, their names might not be, we might not read them in the national newspapers. We might not hear them on national TV broadcasts, Lord, but thank you that you have positioned people all across this nation at every level of government, but especially at the highest level of government, at our federal government, Lord, who have influence and who have godly power and God authority. Lord, protect them, keep them safe, cause them to be agents of righteousness, Lord. For those of us here, Lord, at Solid Rock, and for believers across this land, Lord, help us to be a people who would pray for our government and not against our government. Help us to pray according to your word, Lord, and to pray to bless our leaders, to honor them, that we would just be able to always be praying in a way that would be speaking blessing over them and not cursing, Lord, that we'd be declaring that they'd be righteous, fair leaders, Lord. Help us be motivated by love, Lord, not motivated by disappointment or fear or any other motivation, but Lord, as Brad started us out, Lord, that our motivation would be always love, love for you, love for people, love for our country, Lord. We'd be motivated for love, and Lord, that we would always seek your heart for our government, your heart for our leaders, Lord, in a time when in our nation and many nations, dishonor is given so freely to leaders. Leaders are spoken of in ways that cause us to blush, Lord, and perhaps even when they're deserving of some of that speech, Lord, help us to be a people that walk in the opposite spirit, Lord. Help us to be a people that just choose to walk in honor, to choose to walk in love, regardless of the decisions that are being made, regardless of what's being said, Lord, because you have established these people, Lord, and so we want to honor those who you want to honor, Lord. We want to honor those who you've set in place, Lord, recognizing, Lord, that you are the ruler supreme. You are the head of our government. You are the ultimate authority, Lord, and so we choose to walk in honor. We choose to walk in respect. We choose to help in the best way which we can, which is standing on guard for the ideals of righteousness, for those Christian principles upon which our nation was founded. Lord, we declare that righteousness rules and reigns. Lord, we declare that your dominion is from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth, Lord. It'll be done because we are joined with believers of like-minded faith with a similar heart for Canada who believe that Canada's best days are here and now. And so we declare, Lord, that we usher in just that a great awakening that you have for our nation as we stand on guard. In your name, amen.